yourself up for success when planning your next event, whether it be a festival, Mardi Gras, rodeo, or outdoor music venue. Joe Septic Contractors says it's important to cover your bases well before the days of your event. Joe Septic Contractors can supply 18, 10, 3, or 2-stall restroom air-conditioned trailers and luxury shower trailers of all sizes. Anytime, anywhere, call 24/7. Planning an event? Visit Joe Septic at viscom.net. Locations in Cutoff, Thibodeau, Fouchon, Abbeville Reserve, Odessa, Texas, and Pascagoula, Mississippi.
Aunt Lori?
Yes, Addie?
Why do tennis players need a special bracelet?
What do you mean?
Everyone at Ramsey's is talking about tennis bracelets.
A tennis bracelet is a straight line of diamonds that go all the way around the wrist. 50 years ago, it was called a line bracelet.
You don't have to be a tennis player?
No, that didn't happen until 1978. A lot of people say 87, but they're wrong.
So why do they call it a tennis bracelet?
Chrissy Everett was wearing a diamond bracelet while playing in the U.S. Open, and it flew off her wrist, and they stopped the tennis match so that everyone could search for it.
And that's why it's called a tennis bracelet?
Yes, and everyone at Ramsey's is excited because right now, we're selling tennis bracelets for as little as $1,299.
Natural diamonds or created diamonds?
We have both.
Of course we do, because Ramsey's is the largest diamond store in Louisiana.
Ramsey's Diamond Jewelers on Veterans between Bonneville and West End in Metairie.
You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, Joe. Didn't take long for Joey B to make his presence known. Not only looking magnificent, that flowing blonde hair out there throwing here as well, just beautiful. But also because he was asked about something that the commish during the draft hinted at it. And it's going to happen. Just like I do think 16 games is going to happen when it comes to the college football playoff. I know, we hadn't even got to 12 yet. This year is the first of 12. It's going to happen. You know it's going to happen.
Uh-oh. Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is?
It's hump day.
Hump day! I know you can hear me. Let's get stupid.
Today's more that Camel Wednesday hump day.
It's got to happen. It's already hard enough to understand math. I need things even in my life. I am not an odd person. Like things that are in odd numbers, I don't like it. 8 road games for the Saints. 9 home games. That's your 17 games. It alternates. Remember, 1 year AFC, 1 year NFC?
And to all the ladies, peace and happiness forever.
That's right. Next year, the NFC will have 9 road games. Anyway, you know what? Just make it 18 games. Make it 18 games and makes it even, Stevens. You heard the commissioner during the draft say it. He doesn't care for preseason. He doesn't want it. You don't want it. He was asked about it. He's like, look, the tickets are discounted. At least that's what he said. Are they true? I don't know. Saints fans, you tell me. Do you pay the full price for a preseason game? He says they're discounted now. But you already took one out. You take one, make it 2. And then you're off and running. College doesn't have those, so you can call them the directional schools early on in the season. But many, many, many schools now open up at a neutral site in a big game, in a big game atmosphere. So 18 games seems like the most logical thing. And let's be honest, you can get a bigger TV deal with it. So it's happening. It's going to come. I'm in for it. Bring it. I would much rather 18 regular season games that matter, that count, than those that don't, right? Now, again, it all goes back to what I was saying, though. I still would love to know how you plan on develop players in the NFL today. You can't have nearly as many practices, and even if you do have some practices, you can't be physical in a sport that is physical. Like, in basketball, I can have a practice that simulates pretty much exactly what you're going to go through in a game. Sometimes the practices are even harder than they are in a game. Speaking to, you know, Aaron Summers, Graf, Jim Eichenhofer, that at Pell's practices. You can't in the NFL. When the Cowboys were really good, that's what they did. They held tackling practices. Jimmy Johnson would be like, no, you come in and they tackled Wednesday. They tackled Thursday. Then the CBA came in, and I understand it. I understand there's a difference between risk for CTE in football comparison to other sports. I understand that. And risk of injury, right? Tackling and doing that. But I do think the more you do it, the more your body gets acclimated to it, the better you are. And I think that is one of the reasons why I say year in and year out, the injury level and the injuries are the way they are right now. You literally don't hit until the preseason game. And if you're a starter and of value, like Kirk Cousins, likely ain't getting hit until September. It's an awful long time. Now, he plays a position that is somewhat protected. But your linemen, your linebackers, like you can say you went on a live period. And yeah, during the preseason, because of numbers, you know, the Mario's going to get his snaps in. But, man, those first few games, that's just getting your body going. You're going to get sore and all that. So, again, that's just my opinion. But anyway, Joe Burrow was touching on yesterday at practice. He was talking about specifically 18 games. And if you go to 18 games, duh.
Definitely something that we've thought about. You know, 18 games is definitely a big ask. That's not easy. Adding that extra game, obviously it'd be great for revenue, but you keep that first bye week, and then, you know, some teams have the bye week 5, week 6, and then you're going 12, 13 games in a row. That's not easy. Probably a Thursday night game thrown in there too. That's never easy. So those two byes are pretty critical. Maybe you could do something like the first bye is kind of how we have it now, and the second bye, everybody has it at once, and you make it like Pro Bowl week or something, like an all-star break for the NBA. I don't know.
I love it. I'm down with it. No problem with it. I think it should be two byes now. You're not beholden to end the season by a certain time. I mean, you're already playing in the snow. We've already seen games in blizzards. We already play regular season or postseason games 40 below zero. What? Why can't you? You can own February. What does it matter? Seriously. You already don't care about anything if you're the NFL. You literally are going to have a doubleheader, two games, on Christmas Day, on a Wednesday. So I don't understand this. Well, we have to get it in. Says who? Says who? Started September. Two bye weeks. Count the weeks. When you get to the end of the season, add the weeks for the playoffs. Then the extra bye week between the Super Bowl, that's your end date. Well, we have Super Bowls. Cities will move it. Because I heard that as well. Well, all these events, they planned. I mean, you know, Taylor Swift 2029, the reunion tour. I'm back. Ladies, we can't have the Super. Stop it. If they could schedule 32 teams and all of the things that go with it and have the hotels booked and all, they can make it 18 games. They can absolutely do a second bye week. It's all about whether or not the owners want to share the revenue, because then the players will go more games, more money. That's what it's all about. It's about money. More games, more money. If it was about safety, as the league likes to say, you already would have a second bye week. If it was about safety, you'd allow more people to dress and play. There's things you could do to help safety for players. Just saying. But look, I'm down with 18. I think you should have two bye weeks already, because he brings up a good point. You don't want the Saints to have a bye after week 3, after week 4, and then they literally have to go all the way through January. That makes no sense. You should have two byes. You should have one within the first 8 games. You should have another one within the last 8 games. And what do you think of what Joe had to say, Jack? How about like the NBA? Have a week off. A week off for everybody. Do you think they would ever do that? Maybe you could do it during the national title week or something like that. Or, you know, the holidays. I don't know. What do you think of the NFL giving a whole week off?
For what?
For rest. Like the NBA has an all-star
break. Oh, for rest.
Yeah.
Oh, well, no, they should give them more rest. I mean, you know, for them to say that, oh, we cut a week of the preseason, we're going to add a regular season game, that's absolute BS. Because as everybody who knows, who watches the NFL, you know, the guys who play on playing in those preseason games, which is why the whole month of September is basically an extension of the preseason. So, you're right, they should give them another week's rest.
Jack, you bring up a great point. We've talked about that last year. You really don't get good football until about week three or four. You're 100% right. It is an extension of the preseason. You have guys that haven't tackled. It's sloppy football. You have it looks terrible. I mean, I just read the scores, and it wasn't, look, obviously the Saints struggled on offense, but you go back, you look at the schedule, 18 points, 15 points. Nobody knew, you know, it takes a while to get going. And I think we even talked about it from a developmental standpoint. From a product standpoint, it wasn't good.
Yeah, and look, and that's why I think the Saints should start out the not just the first week, but the whole first month of the season with the bad teams. And that way we'll know what to expect the rest of the time. You know, maybe start out the season with Carolina and the Giants. You know, and if they lose those games, well, you know, you'll be drafting top five.
Yeah. You've been drafting top five. Do you want the Chiefs week one? You want the Chiefs followed by, who you want? You want the Broncos week two? Packers week three? Want to go back? Let's just do it. First four games. Eagles. Eagles are going to be good. How about that first four?
Well, I mean, do you think they should start out slow? I mean, do you think they should start out with teams that they have a chance to beat? Or would you rather them just take it on the chin the first week or two?
Honestly, I'd rather you take it on the chin and then hope that everything else.
Right.
You know, yeah. I, that's just me. I'm being honest. I would rather get it. Just let's get it over with. Honestly. Like if I have to go get my wife's getting a crown right now. If I need a crown or a root canal, I'm going Monday. I don't want it on Friday. It's going to ruin my weekend. At least by Monday, Wednesday, I feel better. Friday, I'm picking up a nice beverage and we're having fun.
Wow.
That's me.
You know, I heard what Ralph said, but I can't imagine the NFL opening the first week of the season with Denver and the Saints because, you know, neither one of those teams figures to be very good. So I understand that, you know, it might be billboard, you know.
But that's why I think it was going to be, like Fletcher said, I think it's probably sooner rather than later because those two teams playing in November, December, that's not going to have any national appeal. You know, if that makes sense. Hey, let me ask you this before I go. I got Sean Fox coming up next segment. Do you think the Saints make a tribute video for Sean Payton?
Nah, this organization doesn't roll that way. They're kind of petty. You know, man, remember, they took, when Tom took over, of course, he's gone now, so maybe things have changed. But, you know, they took out of the press guide, they took everybody out of the press guide who was there before Tom bought the team. Remember that?
I do.
Hey, Gus, just a couple of questions, and you can, if you would, just answer them after you come back. Okay, first of all, As an Astros fan, I'm kind of glad that they're blacked out here, but I don't understand it. Okay, I don't understand why the Astros are blacked out in this market. Because when I go visit my aunt in Houston, me and my uncle watch Astros games in that market. So I don't know why they're blacked out here.
I honestly have no idea. I could try to ask, you know, a guy that I know that does the TV stuff like Josh Richardson and stuff with the Pelts, but I honestly don't know. I don't know how that works because NBA, NFL may be different. In terms of that, you know, with that, I don't know. I honestly don't know.
And the other thing is, how long before we get a Sean Payton, Drew Brees roast? Huh?
Ooh, it was so funny. I actually texted that to Fletcher. I was supposed to ask him, and I just never got to it. I literally texted him, do you think we'll ever get a Drew Brees roast? And if it will be anywhere near the Tom Brady level roasting. I think Sean's would. I don't think Drew's would.
No. No, I think Sean's too petty.
Yeah.
And I think Drew's too worried about his image.
Which is why he would never let it happen. Exactly.
Right. All right, man. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Jack. Appreciate it so much. 800-998-1003. That is the Read a Man Can caller and guest line. Joining us on that guest line next will be Mr. Sean Fox from up there in Fun Row, Louisiana. It's the Sports Hangover in ESPN New Orleans.
How can we be excited about a show where we just talk?
Talk sports.
That's how they talk in the Major League.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
He's on Sports Talk 97.7 frequently, often if not pretty much all day. Depends how much they went over. At Fox 4 Sports Talk, so way to give a follow over on X, Mr. Sean Fox. You can also follow him on Facebook. The show is streamed live. You can see how beautiful he is. What's up, sir? How are you today?
Gus, I'm burning the candles at New Inns. I've got another gig now. So, you know, I'm trying to find as many revenue streams as possible. So.
Which one is it now? What have you added?
Well, no, so now, I do have a face for radio, but I've been doing some ESPN Plus, and now there's a, it's kind of, you know, this is just the way of the world. There is a new site up here in Northeast Louisiana that's like a digital newspaper, but instead of print, it's video, and I'm helping with the sports on that. So it's about to be launching soon. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Wow. Look at you. Look at you. When do you plan on doing this, by the way? Like,
it's starting soon. I don't have the official.
No, but, like, you, like, I'm talking about, like, time of the day. I mean, time, you have only so many hours.
No, it's all recorded. It's all recorded. So at my leave, when I can get it in there.
You don't have that. That's what I'm asking you. That's what I'm saying. Because, as you know, we both live in this same world. Whenever free time, that time is taken. By you know who.
Yeah, I sleep when I'm dead.
That's what I was trying to get at, Sean. I'm just
picked up what you were putting down.
No, I understand. But I mean, I guess there is a nice give and take. In other words, you give your time and your wife's going to take that money so you can work all you want.
Well, it's funny because, Gus, I'm so glad you brought up my wife, who I love. Do you ever, and a lot of your listening audience probably gets this, you know what's coming up this weekend, right?
Oh, yes. I've been being a very good show host, and I've been giving people how many Sundays, how many days. I constantly remind them it's Sunday. I'm letting everyone know, please don't bleep up.
Yeah, but the problem is, what do you give the woman who has everything, where she basically buys everything for herself? That's why I have all these different jobs, Gus. But I ask her, what do you want for Mother's Day?
Mm-hmm.
Nothing. Gus, that's the worst answer a man can get is nothing. Because we all know they want something. It's never nothing. So they want you to be a mind reader. It's like when they do that Jedi mind trick when you're like, hey, what's going on? How was your day? How you feeling? I'm fine. No. It's never fine.
No.
It's never. Anytime they say it's fine, it's never fine. Mm-hmm. Just tell me what's going on. So, be sure that even though they'll tell you, some of them, they don't want anything, get them something.
I almost find that worse because it is absolutely a test. It is, well, then you should know what I want.
Yeah, I tell her all the time, she drops it. I was like, you buy everything you want.
Right.
I buy nothing for myself. The only thing I treat myself with is an occasional lunch, which, I mean, that's like the cost of shoes these days, but that's the only thing I buy for me. But, Gus, this is why, as I said, I sleep when I'm dead. I've got to have like six jobs to float this life.
My friend, I'm with
worth
you.
Worth it, yes.
I thought this week I was done, and then I still got to do player profiles for the Pels podcast. I can assure you that the total that I will be getting from those 11 podcasts it's not only already been spent, it's been spent. Like, it was not only earmarked, apparently, but it's been spent. It has been spent. It's gone. I will never see it. I still have 7 more podcasts to do. I will never see it because currently sitting in a dentist chair is my wife getting a crown, because that's what happens, right? That's to go with my brakes and a new battery that I need after getting 2 new tires. So if you need help on your new digital platform, I can always zoom in. Just letting you know.
I understand. And it's like, I hear a lot. You hear a lot. It's either A, it's only money, or B, you can't take it with you. My answer is C. This is spoken like somebody who never looks at the checking account.
Right.
Y'all have no clue what's happening.
Yeah, or D, we're at the point where, like I am, it's May 8th. I can't wait for October preseason game because I need the game checks. So there is no offseason. We need to get right back to the season. Joe Burrow says we need 18 games. I want a full season of NBA games. You know what I mean?
Gus, I know everybody listens to your show. The poor people who have to put up with me every day, they're like, man, I'd love to do this for a living. And I'm not going to lie. Mm-hmm. It is great.
It's fun.
It's nice to be able to be paid to do this. However, if you really like money, this is not the road to go.
I think people have learned that from our segments on Wednesday. Speaking of Sean Fox from Sports Talk 97.7, again, at Fox 4 Sports Talk, who we haven't had an official poll or an official award, but just last week and every week, everyone keeps telling me you are our favorite guest. So
I don't know why.
I don't That's either, to be honest with you. But I guess let's see if you actually have something to actually say when it comes to your New Orleans Pelicans, and we'll get to the Saints and some fun talk here. I'm not going to dive in too deep. Big deal or not a big deal. We all kind of know now. I'm 2 hours in. We've played the Brandon Ingram sound from Shams. They talked. He wanted help and all that stuff. I'm just asking you from this standpoint. You've seen the last 24 hours stats, when they help, when they don't, fit, not fit. I don't see all three coming back. Do you?
No. And Gus, it goes back to what we said last week. I don't know if they should. And I'd like to know how that conversation went, because Brandon Ingram doesn't talk. And Willie Green is like, gee golly, Brandon. I mean, like,
how you think that went? Give me an example.
It probably sounded like paint drying, because neither one really gives you anything. Like, I don't know if I've actually heard Brandon Ingram utter a sentence. I mean, that guy is just completely quiet. And Willie Green is like the nicest guy. He seems like he's from Mayberry. Like, I hear they had a confrontation in the locker room. Like I said, I can't imagine how it went. Like, neither guy kind of seems confrontational. I don't know. It was a very odd situation. But, Gus, if that is true, and Shams is as connected as anybody, it is kind of alarming of where we are with this core group. And you're going to bring back Zion. That's a given. There's obviously value to CJ. And look, Brandon Ingram's a really good player. But as I've said, it is time to do something. And if you're moving one of the three, you're not going to move Zion. CJ probably doesn't have as much value at this point of his career as B.I. The probably most return you can get is Ingram. As much as, again, I love this core group. They've got to shake it up. They don't have to blow it up.
No, I'm with you. I'm with you. I think if I had to start, you know, nitpicking, pulling hairs, straws, whatever it is, the phrase you want to do, I hate to say it. One shoots threes, one doesn't.
And it's a 3-point shooting game.
One set the franchise record for threes. The other doesn't take them.
And again, it's no coincidence that the teams that usually make the most 3-point shots now usually win the games. I mean,
it's bottom line.
Crazy.
Got 5 minutes here with you here. Let's do this. Yeah. Let's have fun in rapid succession. You ready? Because 1 week from today, I know you can't wait for that show. It you actually turned me. I used to be like, man, it's just the schedule.
I'm a junkie.
Love the schedule release.
Junkie. One of my favorite days of the year.
It legitimately is. And until you explained it on your show when I was a guest, and you were like, well, Gus, weddings are planned, vacations are planned, road trip, and I'm like, damn,
my next 6 months gets planned next week.
You're right. Think about that, the power of the NFL. When at 6 p.m. next week, officially, that hits, you're right. 6 months of planning happens for people in this country. Hotels are booked.
And again, it goes to show, It shows you the power of the NFL, Gus, that they will have a three-hour show on multiple networks dedicated to right. the schedule being no, released. The and schedule. I'm the idiot who watches it all on those networks. I'll have multiple TVs going.
While you're working, of course. While you're working. While you're working.
Yeah. Is the Pope Catholic? Of course I'm working.
I understand. All right. Well, let's get to it because I asked Ralph Marbro. I asked Fletcher Mackle. And now I ask Sean Fox of Fun Row, Louisiana.
Big shoes to fill. Yeah.
Are you ready?
Shoes.
Who... Yeah. Do you want the Saints to open up with and close?
Well, we know it's going to be a division game.
You think so?
To close it. So yes. Well, if yes. I could choose, it'd be the Panthers. It's probably going to be Tampa Bay. Mm-hmm. To open, let's just pull the Band-Aid off from the jump. Welcome in Sean Payton.
There it is. That's what Ralph Marbro said.
Let's just pull it off. Yep. First game.
Fletcher said he'd like to see that as the Thanksgiving day, but both teams may not have five wins by then. And I agree. I don't know. And again, it's not being disrespectful. It's just they're starting Bo Nix. That's a rookie quarterback. Yeah. And the Saints have a tough schedule. And they're starting a new offense. And I'm calling it a learning year to make Chef Scotty happy. You know, he thinks we're negative. So it's not a bad word. It's a learning year for the
Saints. I can promise you it probably won't be at Kansas City to open the year.
I think it's Ravens or Bengals. Joey B's back.
That would make the most sense. They won a marquee game. And that
No doubt. I'm with you. I think Ralph Marbro said, you know what? Give me Sean first week.
Mm-hmm.
Hold my beer. Make it the Monday night doubleheader.
I might as well. It might be one of the two primetime games the Saints get.
On Monday night. Right, exactly. All right, so let me ask you now off of that, because you know how great the summer would be. We would be talking about it all summer. So that's why I really wanted week one. Do they do a tribute video, comma, how should Saints fans treat him?
Gus, they absolutely should give him a tribute video. They absolutely should give him a standing ovation the first time he is shown. Like, Gus, as bitter as some people are, let's remember what this franchise was before Sean Payton got there. It was one of the worst run in professional sports. The worst it was 7-9. They made three NFC championships, won a Super Bowl, brought in Drew Brees. I've got a lot more good memories about Sean Payton than I do bad. Do I think he was an arrogant ass? Yes, but he was our arrogant ass. So he absolutely deserves a tribute video. He absolutely deserves a standing ovation at first. After that, I'd boo him as loud as possible every time he's shown on the Jumbotron if he is. But he deserves his flowers at first.
No, I'm with you. I mean, like I said, and that's the thing that people forget. I mean, when we first started talking and coming on your show, I was with the Saints Radio Network. I was with the big station over there. And I part of my morning sports cast was requirement to interview the ticket guy. I mean,
How many tickets we got this week before I burn you.
Right, and yeah. Sean, the interview wasn't come check out the team. It was Steve Young and the 49ers are coming in. Come check them out. And next week, Brett Favre and the Packers are showing up. I mean, like we really had Saints personnel come on and tell you about the opposing team that was coming. TV stations had to buy tickets so you could watch the game on television. I mean, I don't think people remember that.
I actually watched the game. You mentioned Steve Young. This is how bad it was before. It was Warfel, Troy Davis, I think.
Warfel, yes.
Playing the Niners, they had Garrison Hurst, Steve Young, Jerry Rice, T.O. The Saints, and I'm not kidding, I do not think the Saints crossed the 50. In the Dome, I think it was 28-0. I do not think they crossed the 50. And ironically, it's the best seats I've ever had in the Superdome. But yes, they beat us like a drum, and of course, this would be the best seats I've ever. I'm a cheap seat guy. I like sitting with the real people.
Hey, no one will ever accuse
that again,
you
I'm
of
in radio,
the,
right?
No one will ever accuse you of getting the right side of the tracks, my friend. I'll tell you that.
No. Well, you know, I'm from Mandeville. You don't cross those tracks.
No.
The hard streets of
the
OA. The
saddest part about our segments, I got to wait like a whole 2 days to talk to you, and I'm always either cutting the grass or busy or at a happy hour, so I never really give you my full attention.
Or there's a rooster crawling in the background, dog barking, a kid crying.
I know. It's never the right thing, and then I got to wait a whole week just to talk to you. On my show.
you're the only person I've heard that is a friend of mine or related to me that actually looks forward to talking.
I really honestly do. I really do. I really do.
Every day I get home, it's, what are you doing here? I don't know. Thought I was here.
On that note, Mr. Sean Fox, go give a follow. We'll absolutely make him feel better at Fox Sports Talk. Sports Talk 97.7 in Monroe, Louisiana. When we come back, phone lines are open on the Rudiment Can
Caller and Guest
Line, 800-998-1003. It's a Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
Got a hot take?
Everybody listen up.
Let's hear it. Call us at 800-998-1003.
Answer that phone.
Or tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA. Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Ooh, there it is. There it is. This is the first time I've seen him in a Saints shirt. Trizzy Trace at Trace Gerard 48 over on Twitter, content creator and a producer at Chat Sports. He just posted a photo. I don't know where he got it. I know he got a sneaky peek. Oh, that's right. It is rookie mini camps. Maybe they're here all week. So maybe this looks like maybe a hotel room, hotel lobby. Maybe. I don't know. All I know is it's Spencer Rattler in a black Saint shirt with the gold fleur-de-lis. Like it. What do you think? I kind of say jokingly, but when we were talking with Ralph Marlboro earlier, I just wonder. I just do wonder. Because they're going to chart it. Whether it's John Hendricks, whether it's Nick Underhill. They do a great job. Look, bless their heart. They chart everything. All training camp. Like kicks, completions. That's great. Analytical work. I'm too busy talking. I'll be honest with you. That's why I'm too busy chit-chatting, yapping, complaining, trading. This should change. That's me. That's what I do. I'm like the politician on the sideline during practice. They're actually watching practice. But I am curious, right? Like, what if he goes like 25 or 26 over the weekend? Beautiful. No, look, we're having fun. Look, it is what it is. Because you're waiting for the season to get going. Waiting for the season to get started. Our thanks to everybody that's chimed in so far. Ralph Marlboro, Fletcher Mackle, as he always brought some good opinions too. And again, we're just kind of talking about fit. It's not... Because here's the thing with the Brandon Ingram thing. And again, for those that had missed it, I played it twice already and I'll play it again. But Shams Charania of The Athletic on their
TV
show.
The Pelicans learned that Zion Williamson is that guy. He's that guy that you can build around and they intend to continue to do so. And for him, it's always been about health. That's the biggest factor. We saw it down the stretch of the season that hampered him. But Brandon Ingram, he'll be entering the last year of his contract at $36 million, one-time All-Star. They're going to have to see exactly how much they feel comfortable with, how much they feel like he's worth in a contract extension. But there were frustrations throughout Brandon Ingram as far as where he stood late in the playoffs, obviously sitting in one of the late games during the play-in tournament. And I'm told Ingram and Willie Green had an exchange at game two in the locker room. Sources tell me Ingram essentially told Green he wanted the ball. He wanted Green to help him get the ball. And given how quiet Brandon Ingram is in nature, that direct approach with Green and how he spoke up toward the head coach, that obviously was a seminal moment in the locker room, something that did have a lasting impact since the end of the season. And that relationship is something to keep an eye on right now going into a very important summer for Ingram, for the Pelicans, as they decide how to dictate the future. And you have to give Brandon Ingram this credit. He did get out an injury late in the season, played through it, and he's shown over the course of his career in New Orleans that he can be a guy that can lead this team, and he can carry this team, especially when they play without Zion Williamson. But with him back and knowing that Zion Williamson, you build around a guy like that, what happens with Ingram's future, as well as CJ McCollum, if they are, as David Griffin said, going to look to get better and make changes?
So I think that is an interesting thing that he said. And again, the reason I bring that up is because I think that what was said, oh, Brandon Ingram's a selfish player. No, I don't think that's any different than what doesn't normally happen, right? That's not what a different than like Alvin Kamara going to Pete Carmichael and going, hey, can we call a screen pass? You know that play where I come out the backfield and I get behind the line of scrimmage and stop in front of the linebacker? Like I could smoke every linebacker in the league. Do you mind calling that? It's no different than the quarterback walking up to Sean Payton. Forget Pete Carmichael. Drew Brees. Hey, I really think we should do this. I don't think that's a negative thing. I think if there's a, well, that's interesting, thing of it is that it kind of adds more beef, layer on the pizza, however you want to look at it, of there's a disconnect between what the staff wants to do, what the coaches want to do, what the players want to do, how much buy-in was not. Look, I said this before. My eyes told me, my gut, what I'm looking at, what I'm watching, that this team almost seemed like it had a different identity the last month and a half of the season. I remember I'd come on the show, like, I don't remember coming on the air the night after a game and going, man, they lost that game because Jonas can't play defense. Man, they lost that game because Jonas can't get up and down the floor. Man, they lost that game because I don't ever remember that. So I don't know why in the world they went away from him. I don't get it. I still don't get it. You literally had a guy that you drafted play well enough to earn a chance to play in the Rising Stars game. And played well there. And never played again for you, essentially. Your VP of basketball operations, the staff, the suits. He was one. Cody Zeller was one. JRE was another. Like, I think he brought in three or four players. They didn't contribute. Cody Zeller was a human seat at the arena. That just seems odd to me. Am I laying blame? I'm not saying one guy did. I'm just saying. Those were the only new faces brought into the team. And they didn't contribute. Matt Ryan was the other player. My hand is up. In a league and in a portion of the season where your offense went stagnant and you decided to change your identity and then give the ball to Zion, you need people that can catch and shoot threes. The first two people that come to mind is your rookie Jordan Hawkins and Matt Ryan. The sole reason he's in the NBA is because he shoots threes. I didn't say 4 minutes, but you have to try. It just seems strange to me. So I think initially, like when you look at that story, you go, there's Brandon. Well, isn't that his job? Like, I don't look at it as a negative. It's his job. It's his job to be like, can you help me? Like, do something. Make an adjustment. Justin over at Pell's Pro Talk yesterday posted this. He said he went back and looked at every possession for BI in game two. He had a total of 40 touches. The sets that were called totaled 17. 6 in the first half. Their little chit-chat at halftime. 11 in the second half. 10 field goal attempts, 3 turnovers, 3 assists, 8 free throw attempts. To start the second half, 4 straight sets were called for Brandon Ingram. Again, I don't look at that as a negative in terms of that happening. A player should be able to go up to a coach, hey, let's do this. Let's not do that. This isn't working. You need that feedback back. I don't. Today at the Little League game, a player comes up to me and says, let's try this. We'll try it. Like, that's a coach-player relationship. You can't be stubborn to not do that. So I don't find that the issue. What I find the issue is that it almost seems like they don't really know what that is they were trying to do. And there's, you know, somebody telling me, hey, yeah, they absolutely scrapped that offense they brought James Borrego in for midseason. Wow, that's interesting. So, Sports Hangover continues the final segment next on ESPN New Orleans.
Join us for the Louisiana Bullets and Balloon Fest on Friday, May 17th and Saturday, May 18th at the Oak Ridge Community Park in Golden Meadow. Get ready for hot air balloon race, tethered balloon rides, live music, auto show, local craft vendors, great Cajun food, games, and so much more. Kicking off the Band Fest lineup is Circle Band on Friday night, 7 to 10. And Saturday is Roger Dowdy Band, Benjamin Bruce and the Acadians, Ryan Foran, 4-H Tradition, 6 to 9. All proceeds go to our positive enforcement project. Advanced Eye Institute in Cut Off is your hometown eye care provider. Dr. Darby Chasson is here to serve the eye care needs of your entire family. Full-service eye medical and vision services are provided in a friendly atmosphere. For the latest in designer frames to advancements in astigmatism and bifocal contact lenses, call Advanced Eye Institute at 985-632-2884 for your appointment today or visit our website at VisionSourceAdvancedEyeCutoff.com.
It's time to have fun, so come on in. Come on in and win. It's magic.
Cash Magic.
Come and feel the magic.
Cash Magic.
Where winners play every night and day.
Cash Magic.
If you love to play, come play with us. Right here at home at your local Cash Magic casinos with 9 locations throughout Southeast Louisiana. Come take a break, have some fun, and let us make you a VIP. At Cash Magic, it's always safe, fun, and friendly. With all the newest games like Jade Star and Ghostbusters and our famous Cash Magic VIP service. So come play right in your own backyard at all 9 Cash Magic locations in Southeast Louisiana. Houma, Thibodaux, LaRose, Raceland, Galliano, Bayou Vista, and on the West Bank Expressway. Must be 21 or older. Valid ID required. Gambling problem? 877-770-STOP.
Can we talk about sports? Real sports.
Give us a hot spoonful of your opinion.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
I don't know if there's anything to this or not, but I've seen the last couple of hours. Possible trade situations and places you can do. Yeah. I like them coming out of the draft. I love me some Scoot Henderson. Not saying he's available. Not saying Portland would want to get rid of him. Sports Illustrated's Chris Mannix. NBA teams are monitoring Chauncey Billups' situation in Portland. Should Billups and Portland part ways, he is expected to quickly become a candidate for other coaching positions. I'm not being weird or disrespectful. I'm just, like, the first thing pops in my head is, why? If he didn't work there, why? Like, I always wonder that, you know? Well, you know, just it didn't work out there. Hey, you want to come coach our team? One of the things, too, that that stood out to me. OKC, Minnesota. They're two coaches, 4 years in. They've been there a little bit. Established culture a little bit. So, I bring that up only to say, you know, Willie's in his third season. 4 seasons, 5 seasons, kind of have an idea where we're going, culture-wise, direction-wise, and that's why I'm only bringing it up. I'm not saying it's Willie. I'm not saying go get Willie or bring somebody. I don't know. That's why I found it so odd. Yet I think I can understand. Look, it's odd that you change your identity mid-season. Like, that's just odd to me. Much less towards the back half of the season. That's just really, really odd. I have said for the last couple of weeks, I think there's a reason Minnesota and OKC are up there. Of all the teams below them, they've been the most consistent. You can literally jot down bullet point, and I said the same thing about the Saints last year. I can bullet point 5 to 6 things of who they are. Do you remember during the football season I kept saying on this talk show, who are the Saints? What do they do well? Both sides of the ball. I don't mean that like to poke fun. I've never watched a game in my life. I covered badminton. They just put me on the football beat. Somebody gives me a microphone right now on the show and says, all right, good, Gus, ask our listeners some questions. I'm like, awesome. Tell me what the Saints do well. Tell me what they need to work on. Like, I honestly didn't know what they did well.
What is their calling card? What is their identity? Remember, I sounded and rang the alarm and prepared Chef Scotty for a season of discontent. When after Houston, I went, oh boy. I went, oh boy, after the first quarter. I went, oh boy, after Wednesday, when Derek Carr was asked about the Texans' defense. And he sang like a canary without, you know, in one breath. The five things that they did. They work well together. They work all for one. They really love playing for their coach. They're sound. They're fundamental. They're aggressive. They tackle well. They defend well. He went through a list. And I just wondered aloud after I heard that. I'm like, what? What would the opposing team say about the Saints? And when you did hear sound on those Wednesdays when they're opposing team quarterback, well, Cam Jordan, you know, you always got to keep an eye on him. DeMario Davis, he'll make a play. You know, he's a playmaker. Tyrann Mathieu. It almost felt like they just fell back on names of players that they've heard and names of players that they've known have made plays and have done things. When in reality, the Saints didn't do anything really well. They didn't stop the run. They didn't rush the passer. They were one of the lowest teams when it comes to sacks. They didn't really create a lot of turnovers until some part of the season sort of did. But I guess you could maybe say that as well. And on the offensive side, they didn't do anything well. They didn't have a go-to anything. They didn't have anything you would go to on third and one, on goal line, something. I know this works. So I felt that way doing that, looking at it. And when I look at OKC, when I look at Minnesota, because I do think I look at what's going on in the postseason, and it has to affect what I do in the offseason if I'm them. There is no way you can watch that game last night and not jot down on a notebook or a napkin if you had a bar at your house. There's a reason OKC played in so many games this year that were clutch games because of their defense kept the games close. If you can play defense, it's no different than football. You'll be in games. Now, can you win them? Okay. OKC won a handful of clutch games, and you saw it yesterday. Why? They execute. They don't commit turnovers. I'm texting Ali Cosell. That's 1-3. That's 2-3. It's a 12-3 run to open the fourth. It's a 16-3 run to open the fourth. Corner three, timeout Mavericks, steal, dunk. Next thing you know, it's a 20-point lead. Like, in a flash. Pels, 0-24. When trailing after three, they made no fourth quarter comebacks. They were 4-24 at halftime when trailing. That means if they weren't leading at half, they lost. Like, those are some things that's more than, does this guy fit or hit the three or the roster? Those are some things you look at. The confidence, the way they play with one another. The belief that they do. I mean, it's so much fun to watch Minnesota and OKC. The thing is, it should also make you kind of sick to your stomach a bit. Because they're in the same division, same conference as the Pels. And it's only going to get tougher next year. So, I don't think you rush decisions or judgments as to what you need to do. You got some time, but you better make something. Thanks for listening. We'll see you tomorrow at Katie's. Don't forget high school baseball tomorrow. Right after that, we'll be online. Matt Moscone has a further review next on ESPN.
Attention, Blue Boot Rodeo family. This is Gavin Dugas, LSU baseball champion. Are you ready for a weekend of fun and purpose at the Blue Boot Rodeo? A fishing rodeo that combines family fun with drowning prevention awareness. On July 11th through the 13th at the Tarpon Pavilion.